So today I want to talk about being trapped by or trapped in our emotions. How often or how many of you don't have to raise your hands, but sometimes where you're feeling an emotion, so you respond and it becomes a mood. You feel cranky, so now I'm just cranky, right? And it's like, well, how long have you been cranky for? And why are you cranky? Well, I don't know, that person that cut me off in traffic a couple hours ago really cheesed me off. And so now that kind of set my day off in a different angle or whatever, and I'm just cranky. Or maybe I'm stiff. I woke up this morning with a stiff neck and it's just bothering me. So it's become a bit of a cranky mood. And how many of you know that the longer you stay in that cranky mood, it becomes a part of your week-long mood. It becomes a month-long mood. We don't have to be trapped in those emotions. We don't have to be trapped by those circumstances or those emotions that are caused by how we are reacting to an event that happened to us that triggers the emotions. We can actually walk through and process those emotions in a healthy way so that we're not stuck and trapped by that particular mood or that personality trait, that characteristic that it ends up developing over time. So I'll show you in the scripture, we're not the only ones that actually suffer from depression and anxiety and shame and regret. So we're going to go into Psalms. Psalms chapter 102 and verses 1. It's a prayer of one afflicted, and when he is faint and pours out his complaint before the Lord, is what the psalmist writes. In verse 1 it says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, let my cry come to you. Hear my cry, Lord. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Don't run away from me, God, but hear me, incline your ear to me, and answer me speedily in the day when I call." So don't wait 3 or 4 days to answer my prayer, God. Can you hurry it up a little bit? "For my days pass away like smoke, dissipating. Life is shortened like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. And my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is struck down like grass and has withered. I actually forget to eat my bread because of my loud groaning. My bones are clinging to my flesh. I am like a desert owl of the wilderness, like an owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I can't sleep. I am like a lonely sparrow on the housetop, sitting all by myself. All the day my enemies taunt me and make fun of me and provoke me. Those who deride me use my name for a curse. For I eat ashes like bread and mingle tears with my drink. Because of your indignation and anger, for you have taken me up and thrown me down. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass." Encouraging, isn't it? We're talking about weight loss, lack of appetite, insomnia, social isolation, common signs of depression. Most of us stay on that bus of self-pity and emotional roller coaster. And we ride it all day long and maybe even all week long. And we drudge through life and asking God, "Why are you not answering me today? Can't you see I'm starving? Can't you see I'm hungry? Can't you see I'm like broken grass laid down?" It's no joke. I'm not talking about things that are lightly cranky moods. I'm talking about deeper issues, deep-seated issues where we walk through anxiety, where we walk through debilitating anxiety and depression that isolates you in the closet and you don't want to talk to anybody and you can't see your way out of it and it's dark and it's dreary and it's a spiraling road or staircase down to what you feel is the very pits of hell and you can't see a way out of it. But the bus is going nowhere except to a deeper, entrenching worry, anxiety, and fear. Our mind and body become so exhausted with the hyper arousal of our emotions for an extended period that we actually experience our body starting to shut down. We actually start to experience our genes reforming and making room for disease in our lives. The genetic disposition actually starts to change. The psalmist goes on, though. There is hope, and we know there's hope because we believe in a Messiah. Jehovah has become our Savior. The psalmist goes on just as well, taking a measurable corrective step, an intentional action in reframing his thoughts, and learns to submit his soul and spirit into a process of renewal and revitalization, where there's a new life that begins to spring out of that dark situation, that springs out of that valley, that springs out of that despair. Verse 28 in chapter 12 says, "But you, O Lord," but you, let's rephrase that, "O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered through all generations. You will arise and have pity on Zion. It is the time to favor her. The appointed time has come, for your servants hold her stones dear and have pity on her dust. Nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory, for the Lord builds up Zion. He appears in his glory. He regards the prayer of the destitute and does not despise your prayer. Let this be recorded for a generation yet to come, so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord, that he looked down from his holy height. From heaven the Lord looked at the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to die, that they may declare in Zion the name of the Lord and in Jerusalem his praise. When peoples gather together and kingdoms to worship the Lord, he has broken my strength in mid-course. He has shortened my days. Oh my God, I say, take me not in the way in the midst of my days. You whose years endure throughout all generations. Of old, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you." If you know anything about the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Torah scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, and you read through those scriptures and you see the God of the Old Testament, Jehovah God, reveals himself over and over to man as I am and through the process. But Jehovah becomes our Savior through Jesus Christ coming to earth, walking as a man, but fully God and fully man, gives himself as a sacrifice in obedience unto God so that we might have access to the Father through his perfect sacrifice. Now having access to the Father, the veil's gone. You don't have to go to see the high priest anymore. You are now adopted into that priestly order, and you get to serve and minister to God himself. And the power of the Holy Spirit gives you that security, robes you, puts a ring on your finger, and seals you unto redemption. What a beautiful picture that we have of how much God loves us and wants us to be secured in him. And all of your offspring will be established. We often live our lives trapped by our emotions, and I myself have often found myself in a cyclic kind of pattern of being in a mood or being in a disposition or a distemperament. And for whatever reasons, you're walking through your week and you just can't shake it, you just can't kick it. And then all of a sudden one day it's bing. Wait a second, I haven't even read the scripture this week. I haven't even taken a chance to just pour out my heart before God. And in that moment when there's an awakening in my spirit, because for some reason my body and my soul has been a little bit stronger than my spirit man, and so my spirit man's voice is weak. But every once in a while, in the still quiet of the morning or in the eve, just before you go to bed, yes, Lord, I've ignored you this week, haven't I? I haven't had my full attention on you. I haven't had my eyes fixated on your glory. And in those moments, my heart starts to come alive. You almost feel like there's a rose that blossoms out of your chest in fast, quick, hyperspeed motion, because all of a sudden the Holy Spirit quickens inside of you, revives you, renews you, restores you. And oh, that love that you feel from the Father feels so close and so real and so powerful. All of a sudden, that mood that I was just in for that week, that temperament that I had been experiencing for the past month, all of a sudden I feel like I'm reborn, like I've been rebirthed again, walking in the newness. What is it? Is it that I was far from God? No. My attention might have been far from God. My soul, my mind, will, and emotions might have been focused on many other things and fixed on the things of this life and the problems. But in the moment when you realize, wait a second, there is a Father in heaven who loves me so much, and all it takes is me turning my eyes to him, it's a reminder of how much I'm loved and how special I am to the Father, how secure I am in him. And all those emotions that I was feeling dissipate and vanquish. Our anger, our hatred, our lust, jealousy, insecurity, anxiety, hopelessness, guilt, shame, on and on, and so much more. We get trapped in these emotions, forgetting who we are, the very key that we have in our hand, but yet we forget about it. How many have walked around your house looking for your keys and they're in your hand? I've done it before. It's in my pocket, my wallet. I do the pat down every time I leave the house. It's so easy. When we're distracted by the things, the concerns and troubles of this world, we forget we really are in an area of our lives where our focus is not transfixed and fixated on the God who loves you and cares about you and wants to see you securely whole in your relationship with him. We create a perpetual cycle of automatic thoughts. It's become who we are. It's a habit. Our behaviors, actions, and emotions that continue to entrap you into the past rather than living in the forward momentum and forward movement into your destiny and God-given future. We learned that last week. A habit is a redundant set of automatic, unconscious thoughts, behaviors, and emotions that are acquired through repetition. So if you want to learn something and make it a habit, you got to do it more than 21 days for the most part. I think science will tell us that actually 90 days or 120 days, if you're trying to break through and free from an addiction or break free from a habit that has you entrenched, it takes time and dedication to do so, and it takes a repetition to break you out of that entrenchment, winching you out of the mud sometimes. A habit is when you have done something so many times that your body knows how to do it better than your mind. It's crazy. Our body becomes our mind, and we engage in repetition in everything that we do. I said this last week. I know I get up at the same time. I don't even need an alarm clock. I can get up at the same time. It's 10:30, but just I have to set an alarm if I want to get up earlier than that. Just kidding. Probably 9. Anyways, I don't want to make myself feel like, anyway. Confession is good for the soul, isn't it, Lee, this morning? Anybody else? But I get up and I brush my teeth. Like I said, I'm right-handed. I brush my teeth with my right hand. I brush left to right to bottom. Up, unconsciously, I can do it right now. It's habitual, yeah. It's the same proportion of toothpaste. It's the same process. It's the same habit. We are subconsciously in a cycle every morning. We're repetitiously going through our habits. Our body knows how to do it better than our mind. We don't have to think about most of the things that we do nowadays. Memories are connected to people. Certain times, events in your life, things, events that have happened, people that have done certain things to you or with you. If the brain is the record of the past, the moment you start your day, you technically start in the past, because we wake up and what do? We look at Facebook, we look at our calendar, we look at who texted us in the middle of the night, the person. And what does it do? It triggers thoughts that then trigger chemicals that that actually form your emotions. And then those emotions create more thought processes that create more triggers. And it just creates a cyclic event in your mind before you, in the 30 seconds that you're even awake. The circuits, memories, have an emotion attached. Every memory that you have is going to have an emotion attached to it. Every circuit that you have, which is a memory, has an emotion attached. That's how you remember. You recall through the emotion, you recall your memory. Emotions are the very end products of past experiences. So when you're feeling an emotion, you're actually feeling what you felt in a past experience that was related to another past experience that was related, and on and on and on. For some of you, it's been like years. For me, a couple. The moment you recall those memories of your problems, all of a sudden, you feel unhappy. You feel sad. You feel pain, annoyance, anger. These feelings and emotions are the very end product of your past experience. And if you can't think greater than you feel, then your feelings have become the very means of your thinking. And we so become entrapped in that cycle of emotional roller coaster, perpetually keeping you in an unhealthy cycle of emotional response to thought, back to emotion, reinforcement, then to action or behaviors that continue to entrench your habitual responses. Do you feel trapped already? Just talking through this, I feel trapped. Subconsciously, we default to this program of memorized sets of behaviors. Memorize your bodily set of emotions. You are acting in the past through memorization, subconsciously, habitually. You feel the same thing over and over and over and over again, entrenching you in this temperament, entrenching you in this characteristic or this personality trait. You have now lost your free will, keeping you trapped in habitual response. There is hope. Subconsciously, we default to this program of memorization, these memorized sets of behaviors, hardwired attitudes, emotional actions, beliefs, perceptions, frame of view, all on an automatic response. Thanks, Lord, for wiring us so magnificently. See, increasing your awareness to the present moment is how you realize where you're actually in that cycle of perpetual cyclic behavior. See, if you wake up in the morning and you go through habitual responses, which are triggering habitual emotions, because you're living in the past, thinking about the future, triggering more past emotions, thinking about your future, that insecurity and that fear, shame, regret is perpetual. Those negative emotions, those negative thoughts, keep you entrapped by that same pattern, and you continue to respond and cycle that over and over again. But when you actually, like I said, when I'm in my bed in that one moment, and I breathe in and I breathe out, and there's an awareness, there's a spark of where I'm at right in that moment. And in that moment, there's an awakening in me of the Holy Spirit sitting, if you want to call it sitting, present in me. And in that moment is when I have an awakening of who I actually am. I have a remembrance. See, it's sometimes it's a circuit pathway or a neuronal pathway that is not as entrenched or wide like a superhighway like all my other problems are. See, when I always think about all the other things that are going on in my life, all the bad negative emotions, all the problems, I create these superhighways of problems in my brain. And because it's in my brain, it starts to create automatic responses in my body, and my response mechanisms start to fire other circuits and release other chemicals into my body, reinforcing the same negative habit. But you can increase your awareness to the present moment of who you are in Christ. Altering your state of consciousness, rather than living in a subconscious state, you can alter your state of consciousness by being in the here and now with Christ in you, knowing who you are and remembering who you are, reflecting on who you are by prayers, by supplications, by meditations, by reading the scripture. You can trigger yourself to be in the right now, right here with God as he dwells in me. Leveraging yourself to stop off, pull the dinging bell at the bus stop, get off the automatic thought process and entrenchment bus stop. Through the practices that we can intentionally engage in, like I mentioned, with prayer. Prayer is speaking from your heart to God, whether it be audible or not. Through meditation, through being in the present moment and reflecting, not worrying about. So close your eyes. You don't even have to see the buses. You don't have to see the family. You don't have to see Facebook. You can just, and don't stumble around, but sit there and close your eyes and be in the moment with God. Meditating on Him, not on my problems. Because as soon as I start thinking about my problems, all of a sudden I start becoming perpetual, stuck in that cycle of habitual responses to the emotions that create more thoughts, that create more emotions, that keep me entrenched in this problem. Get off the bus. Ding. Reflection, personal reflection. Scripture reading. Scripture, more than just scripture reading, because sometimes we get engaged in scripture reading. We're like, yeah, blah, 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 Leviticus, blah, 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 Numbers, oh my goodness. Or we do the other one. Ding. That doesn't make sense. No, I'm talking about actually immersing yourself into the pages of the scripture through analysis, reflecting on how the word that is alive and well speaks to me as I engage in reading through the book of Numbers. It's bizarre. Or building practices of how you engage in the scripture on a daily basis. Maybe it's reading it backwards to from the back to the front. I don't know if that makes any sense, but or front to back, whatever it is, but being intentional to reformat the way you live, reformat the way you think, your practices, your praxis and development. Control, Alt, Delete, I think is what I used last week or sometime before. Resetting software. Right, when you push on the computer, not too many computers, some of them you have the transparent side, you can see all this bleep. And it's fascinating, but you still don't really know what's going on, and they're just like, come on, hurry up. And that's how we are sometimes. Our software, it's not so much our hardwiring that needs resetting, but our software needs the reset, the control, Alt, Delete. And that's done through prayer, through scripture analysis, through meditation, and we're going to continue on. Forming new habits, new practices. Here's one here. Giving yourself the permission. Oh, sometimes we don't really like to give ourselves permission to change things, because that's uncomfortable. But that's exactly where we need to go in order to change things, be in a discomfort, be in an uncomfortable place, in order to actually get yourself out of a habitual response. So when you fast from something, you're actually creating room for new thought, new patterns of behavior, new reflection time, new whatever. You're making room intentionally for that new behavior to develop, that a new emotion to emerge from that new thought process, through that new circuitry that's being developed while you engage in something that's new, even though it's uncomfortable to do so. So give yourself permission to walk. Here it is, to walk in the greatest gift given to mankind. It wasn't me, I know that much. It's not you either, you're not the greatest gift to mankind. But you can walk in the greatest gift given to mankind, that's through what Christ did for us. And now pouring out the Holy Spirit, that we have the greatest gift of all. The Spirit of Christ now living within us. We are the temple of God. Walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Let's read that for a second. How about that? Romans 8 and verse 1. So today I'm just talking about being trapped in emotions, and emojis. And over the next few weeks, next week we're going to actually start with anxiety. We're going to look at anxiety and deep dive into anxiety and see, God, what are you saying to us now in this situation, in this precarious moment of walking through anxiety, and we'll go on from there. But today's topical on the emotions itself. We're going to start with Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Bingo. Great. Thanks, Lord. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For, again, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, don't worry. Although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So again, bingo, the answers that we have are found in Christ in us, who gives us the power to overcome the flesh, overcome living in sin or separation or dead works even. But see, the verdict is not less condemnation. Our life in Christ shouldn't be a self-improvement model of self-care. Our life in Christ, our oneness in Christ, by Christ's Spirit in us, indwelling in us through faith, this is what offers us the complete transformation that we're designed to walk in. So you don't have to worry about walking in less condemnation. You can be who you are by living in the moment with Christ in you, through the power of the Holy Spirit invested in you and I, overcoming the world through Christ. We get to be transformed by his Holy Spirit, all because of what he did. So no condemnation. A place of confidence and peace. Not a place of anxiety, fear, distrust, hostility, hyperarousal, self-protectionism. Spurgeon puts it this way: if you are not in Christ and are walking after the flesh, you have not escaped from condemnation. All right, so walk in Christ. Stop, drop, and roll. Right? If you're not following Christ today, here's your chance. Get on the bus, a different bus going the other way. To live condemned is living separate from God. But you don't have to live outside of your design. Hashtag new choices. Today, you can live in your design, to live in wholeness, in completeness, in oneness with Christ by Christ being in you through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Your posture, or position if you want to put it, but your posture in Christ is the very reason for the standing in no condemnation, changing our minds, changing the way we look at life, changing and reframing our thought processes, because now we start to realize who we are in Christ Jesus. Not through your works, but for free through grace, by faith. You don't have to walk in condemnation and live separate from your design. Hashtag again, change your mind. You can. It's only your thought processes that can change the way you're walking in it. Our walk, our pattern of life, our patterns, our very habits, our subconscious state of being, our learned behaviors can all be reframed, repatterned to walk in freedom through the Holy Spirit. How? By being in the moment, present right now, me in Christ, Christ in me. I'm no longer worried about my past. I don't have to live in condemnation. I don't have to worry about my future because he's already got me secured. I'm good to go. I don't care if I starve to death or not. The fact is, I'm secure in Christ, and that's all that matters to me right now. I'm in the moment with him, here and now, present with Jesus, hosting his presence today, and allowing the Holy Spirit to give me strength to relearn, to rebuild new habits, to repattern my walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Meaning, walking in the Spirit means that the very course, the very direction, the progress of one's life is directed by the Holy Spirit. A continued and progressive motion, forward momentum. You are walking in Christ. Here are a few things. Body science. I love body science. It fascinates me with how we're wired. And sometimes if you learn a little bit about the science of how you're wired, it helps you like, oh, that makes more sense. That's why I do what Aunt Edie did all the time. Our life experiences are remembered because we can remember how they feel. We're talking about emotions. And that, all of our emotions are the end products of our past experiences, which I do believe God heals you from past experiences. We can live in the moment. We can live in forgiveness. We can walk in grace and truth. Now, in the present moment, stop living in your past. Okay? Check one. These experiences are secured by emotions. Right? They're entrenched by emotions. Everything that, every circuit that's in your brain that's going on that's triggered by emotion is triggered by because it's attached to an experience. We become conditioned to live in our past experiences, unable to recreate new futures. We become stuck, entrenched. And what is that? What does that entrenchment look like? It's selfishness. It's self-protectionism. It's I'm worried about myself. So if you want to identify it, that's one of the identities that is attached to being stuck in your past experiences. Our current environment signals our genes, producing chemical reactions in your body. And then our bodies become reliant, addicted to these chemical reactions. We become addicted to the prolonged exposure of these chemical releases. So you wonder why you're always stressed. Your body's actually addicted to stress. And it's automatically conditioning your body and recreating those same patterns and firings and chemical releases because that's where you're entrenched. You're entrenched in that behavioral pattern. The prolonged exposure of these chemical releases is what we become addicted to. We become trapped in our emotions because emotions really is a chemical release. And we actually become chemically addicted to our emotions, which is crazy. Our bodies are fascinating. The negative emotions, let's rephrase that, that are continually being derived from the same repetitive negative exposures or environments. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you continually submerge yourself or submit yourself to environments that are high stress, high anxiety provoking, depressing, angering, hostile, it produces an addiction to that chemical release, continually reaffirming your addiction to judgment, to bitterness, to pain, and to suffering. It's a bit of a body thing going on. Our emotions are stored up in this whole body of ours, and we're trapped in it. But I believe that Jesus does provide wholeness that you can walk in. You don't have to. You're not designed to. It's the way of the curse in the earth itself that we are subjected to. But we can choose to walk the other direction and get on the other bus, learning new patterns, building new habits in our life, allowing emotions to be attached to creative memories, to new memories, to happy memories, to memories of peace, experiences of joy, experiences of walking in unity with the Holy Spirit. As long as you feel the same way every single day. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's the same thing over and over and over again. Maybe your feelings are feeling the same way over and over and over again. There's no new information coming in to your brain from the environment. You increasingly grow conditioned in an inability, in the inability to walk in your destiny and who you are in Christ. Your future. Fruitful? No. It's dead. It's dying. It's uncomfortable. It's unhealthy. Remaining in guilt, shame, depression, anxiety, fear, hostility, insecurity. Helpful? No. It's harmful. Both to your body, to your soul, thus affecting your spirit. And then we wonder why we're not walking in victory. Hey, stop. Drop and roll. Let's look. What am I doing? Where am I at? Where's Jesus right now? I am in Christ. I am secured in Christ. He loves me. He champions me. He has a new destiny and a new future for me that I can walk in. I don't have to walk in these old emotions, these old past experiences that are dictating my future because it's a habitual cyclic response, on automatic, on replay. You can stop the train of addiction to self. And that feels like stopping a locomotive might be really intimidating, but you start now. Starting new today, changing your mind in the moment, right now, make that decision every second. We talked about loving people 30 seconds at a time. Sometimes you have to come back to, what am I doing right now in this 30 seconds? What emotion am I allowing to dictate my future? What emotion am I allowing to dictate my present moment, my mood? What past experiences are allowing those emotions to trigger my thoughts today? To condition me in the inability to walk in my destiny, my future. Addicted to needing the outside world or the outer world to feel something. So music, television, magazines, whatever it is that you are addicted to on your outer world to feel something rather than finding wholeness and inner healing and peace within me. I can live presently in the moment right here inside of me, being comfortable with who I am in Christ. It's the beginning of completely altering your very state of being and existence. When you realize who you are in the present moment in Christ, that you are secured in Him, He gives you the strength, the peace, the joy, the hope. He's the one that renews, or if you want to look at renewal, it actually means renovate. He renovates your mind, kicks out the old studs, reframes it, re-drywalls it, repaints it, maybe puts a nice picture up for you. Renovation of my mind, hashtag rehab. I am going through rehab. Rehabilitated in Christ. How by right now in the moment, stop allowing the past to dictate your life, to make your future predictable. And the emotions that are secured by the past experiences lend to the cyclic behavior that you feel like you can never get off. You can break out of this negative conditioning, but you will need a redefined and healthy vision of your future. And that is only found by finding who you are truly in Christ. That your future is secured in Christ. That your present is secured in Christ. Rather than being left only with the old memories of the past and all those failures and all those regrets and all those hurts and shames and violations even. Destining me to live a very predictable life of repeated patterns of negativity. Break out of it. You have the key in your hand. If you're walking with Jesus, if you're not, I invite you to ask Jesus. I encourage you to ask Jesus to come to forgive you of walking that way and say, Jesus, I want to follow you in the direction that you're leading me. And he will give you that key by the Holy Spirit becoming alive in you through the pouring out of his Spirit. You don't have to be left with the old stuff. Your body being conditioned to looking for that predictable chemical state. I'm stressed all the time, but your body's developed a predictable chemical state of existence. But when you increase your awareness to the state of addiction that your body is living in, your will, through the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's made submitted and surrendered to the Holy Spirit, can subject the body and soul into surrender in developing new neural pathways. I'm making this really scientific this morning because sometimes we make it too mystical and it's like, whatever that looks like. But understanding the biology, the physiology, the psychology sometimes helps you realize there's actually something that I can do to participate in this. Surrendering your body and soul so that it may develop new neural pathways. We don't have to remain living and existing in this altered state of consciousness. Truly living outside of your design, your God-given design. Thinking differently. It seems real simple, but thinking differently, real simple solution is the beginning of altering your state of being and walking in the newness of life that you can walk in. Hashtag this, change your reality. Assert will. I'm done with this. I don't have to be like this. God said so. Get behind me, enemy of the state, or whatever. Colossians 3, let's give you some scripture to help wrap up some of the science. Colossians 3:10. Have you put on the new self which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator? Yes, Jesus, thanks. Recklessly abandonment of self. Relinquishing control to Jesus. Surrendering him to him. That really means that both my past is healed and I have hope for my future because I'm resting in Christ. I'm secured in Christ. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be trapped by my emotions. I don't have to be trapped by my past experiences. I've given that to God. He takes care of me both from my past, present, and future. So I put on this new self, which is being renewed, being renovated. Effectively changing my mood, my temperament, my personality traits, my characteristics. Ephesians 4:22 says it this way. Put off your old self, shed it like a snakeskin, let it go, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. How? We engage in prayer, in meditation, in scripture analysis, helping us disconnect from our outer world. See, what you feed thrives, and what you starve dies, right? Helping us disconnect from our outer world and our outer environment, whether it be Facebook or whatever it is, news, TV, your coworker, your boss, your spouse, hopefully not your spouse. We've got healing through this. Of course, you can go through. Giving yourself the time to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Psalms talks about it this way, when 119, verse 15, I'm taking charge. I will meditate on your precepts and fixate my eyes on your ways. Psalms 143:5. It says, I remember the days of old, but, it doesn't say but, I meditate on all that you have done, and I ponder the very works of your hands. Where's your attention at? Where's your mind focused? Where's your day focused? Where are you fixated? Be greater than your environment. Change your environment. And as you change your environment, it will change your world. And in turn, when your world is changed, it changes the very environment and world of others, which is what we're designed to be, the very reflection of Jesus in the earth. See, meditation simply means to become familiar with. So as I'm sitting in my moment, in my chair, in the right now, right here, eyes closed, becoming familiar with what? Oh, the Holy Spirit that just feels so wonderful, that feels so refreshing, the love, the joy, the peace, the hope that I have right here, right now. It renews the very way I think in the very moment and for the future moments that I'm going to start walking in, rewiring the very way I think, feel, and behave. It alters my state of consciousness. Who am I? When we're one in Christ, we can allow the very peace of God that transcends all to be activated in our life through faith and belief, rather than continuing to live addicted to the hormones of stress that keep us from living in an environment of trust, in an environment of rest, and of learning. We don't have to live trapped by our emotions, held hostage by our emotions.